Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear people, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We're just now transitioning to our second hour. We're going to pick up my brother, Gene Andrews, and my sister, Miss Monica Schaefer, the one and only Monica Schaefer. But before we go to them, we have a guest on the line, Mr. Clint. How's it going tonight, Clint?
Good, Eddie. How are you? And how are you, Lee?
We left Lee. Would you, Clint, would you like to make a quick comment?
Yeah, I would. You were briefly talking about the protest in D.C., and I laugh when they call it an insurrection, but I did a video earlier this week talking about it because I saw a headline in the New York Times saying how the sight of the Confederate flag caused horror and disgust and fear, you know, and the first line in the article, they said historians say it's the first time a Confederate flag was ever brought in the White House, not even during the Civil War. And I thought, well, that's some top-notch historians they have there, you know. But I said if President Davis had given General Stonewall Jackson the 10,000 men he asked for after the Battle of First Manassas, it might have been a permanent fixture. But the other part of my video, I said, you know, how can they be shocked that a million people end up standing outside the Capitol building and one of them brings a Confederate flag in, when for the past 21 years now there's been a nonstop assault on all things Confederate, all things Southern, all things on our heritage? You know, how can they be shocked that people finally have enough?
That's absolutely, you know, and I salute those people that were there. And I really do. I admire those people, and I don't care who stormed the damn Capitol building. If they were, you know, I don't care. As long, all that matters to me is they did storm it, and they raised a hand toward Zog. Well, Clint, if you will, call me and pretty soon. We got two guests coming in. We got my co-host, and we got Miss Monica Schaefer. They're going to come on and do a project tonight. But hey, give me a call as soon as possible, my brother.
I will. It's good talking to you, and enjoying the show.
Thank you so much, Clint. Thank you so much. Well, how you doing tonight, Miss Monica?
I'm doing very well. Thanks a lot. Yeah. And you, how are you doing? This has been quite the week, hasn't it?
Yes, it is. I did a foolish thing yesterday. Like I was telling people in the first hour, I went out and ran and real cold and windy, and I didn't have near enough clothes on. And so I'm kind of paying the price today. But I guess that just shows, my dad said there's no fool like an old fool, so I guess I fit into that category. Well, how are you tonight, Mr. Gene? How are you doing, fella?
Doing very well. Glad that Clint called in and gave a reference to our flag, not the enemy's flag, our flag for the Confederate nation, and storming the enemy's capital city there. They were always talking about the storming the Capitol, and this is the first time the Capitol had been invaded and D.C. had been invaded since the British in 1814. That's not right. General Jubal Early brought the Confederate Army up the Shenandoah Valley and defeated the Yankees at Monocacy, Maryland, in August of 1864. And they were at the perimeter defenses around Washington, and they were lobbing shells in there and firing away. If they hadn't had to stop at Monocacy, they would have been in the Confederate Army actually would have been in the Capitol, the White House, and anywhere else they wanted to go into Washington, because most of the Army, the rest of the Federal Army, was down around Richmond and Petersburg. So obviously the fake news media can't even report correct history. And they were so shocked that the Confederate flag is there. That's the only thing they got to worry about. They are in trouble. But it just proves that our flag all over the world stands for resistance to tyranny. In Eastern Europe, when the Soviet Union collapsed, and they were showing scenes here in the United States of all these crowds out in Poland and East Germany and Berlin and Romania and Bulgaria, and they'd show all these crowds out in the hundreds of thousands out in the plaza downtown, and they were waving their old national flags that didn't have the hammer and sickle on it. And then as they would kind of pan across these crowds, every single one of those, somewhere you would see a Confederate battle flag. And, boy, they would jerk the camera off that as fast as they could, but it's too late. The people in Eastern Europe are a heck of a lot smarter than the people in the United States are, and they know exactly what that flag stands for.
Got that right. It kind of reminds me of that, what was his name, Stephen's song about the streak, and he said he told his wife not to look.
Yeah.
It's too late. She done been mooned. So those people got mooned by that Confederate flag, didn't they, Jim?
Yeah, they did. They did.
They sure did. Well, you know, before we go to Monica, now, oh, heck, Clint, now he has some type of, does he have the Dixie Republic or something like that, I believe. I know him, but I can't remember, you know, I've talked to him before, but I can't remember what all he has, but. Anyway, Gene, you're on tonight, and with the, God bless you. I'm so glad you're here. We got Monica on. Monica's got some news articles about the has to do with the Hola hoax, the Holocaust, and she was in the news. So I'm going to turn this over to you.
Oh, absolutely, and, absolutely, definitely want to hear her. She's the star of the show.
Well, I tell you what, you both are stars in my book. Go ahead, Miss Monica. What do you got? What do you got for us? So you and Gene are going to pretty much run it. I'm just going to sit back and be the MC. So go ahead, Miss Monica.
Okay, yeah, I'd just like to start with something that Alexander Solzhenitsyn said. He said, to destroy a people, you must first sever their roots. And he was, of course, speaking about what the Jews do. To destroy a people, you must first sever their roots. And how they do that is they erase our history. And they've done this before. We've been in this playbook before with erasing history. You know, in previous shows, you've been talking a lot about all the monuments being torn down and now you know the flag that's so not permitted, you know. And so this the lie about the Holocaust, as much as people like to say, oh, that's not relevant anymore, nothing could be further from the truth. And that was brought into the forefront again recently because I wrote a letter, but it was as president of the Truth and Justice for Germans Society, wrote a letter to the school board and faculty and staff of a high school in Florida. This is in Boca Raton. The school is called Spanish River High. And there was an ongoing story there about a high school principal who was fired. He was fired twice. You know, he was reinstated after an appeal, and a judge said he was wrongfully dismissed. And the story was quite long. It started in 2018. But what happened there is he allowed his students to opt out of a certain course, and that course was the Holocaust Studies course. Now, at a high school level, students don't take every single course that's on offer anyway, so this is quite a normal thing. Students opt out of all kinds of courses. There's nothing unusual about that, but of course, in this case, this school serves a large Jewish population. That is said in the mainstream media press. That's not me just saying that because I have some kind of a bee in my bonnet about that. But the Jewish population, they didn't like that at all, that he allowed students just to opt out. And when the principal was asked about the Holocaust, he replied in an email to one of these concerned parents that he couldn't affirm that the Holocaust happened. He was not in a position to do so. You know, he wasn't there, and it was something that he was not willing to give a committed answer to, yes or no, it happened or it didn't happen. And it must be said that he did not deny it either. He simply had allowed students to opt out of that course. Of course, that was not allowed. In Florida, they have, as in many states and as in many jurisdictions, it is mandatory to teach about the so-called Jewish Holocaust and all those things that go along with that, the gas chambers in particular. You see, of the 6 million Jews who were murdered, and this is in an area where there did not even exist 6 million Jews in all of German-occupied territory at the height of the German occupation, I guess you could say, during the war. So anyway, be that as it may, just to take a non-committal stance on this historical event was enough to get this high school principal fired. This letter, we published it on the Truth and Justice for Germans Society website, and well, it just, you know, the proverbial poop hit the fan, as they say.
That's a Canadian expression.
Well, I didn't. The word they usually use is a little bit more rude. I didn't want to say that, but I think you all know. But the national newspaper in Canada picked it up and wrote an article. That's the National Post. And I was laughing my head off, really, when I saw that, because they're actually doing us a favor. They put the Truth and Justice for Germans Society on the map. People became aware, if they read that article, that we have a website. And then I went to the local newspaper. I researched or Googled, you know, the local paper in Florida, in that region, Boca News Now. They wrote an article about it. They actually published my letter as part of it. That's wonderful. I guess we'll continue after this break.
Yes, ma'am.
I hear the music.
When we come back, Miss Monica, give that website, how people can get in touch with you.
Yes, I will give that.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for coming back. Indeed, you are listening to Blood River Radio. We're going into our second segment of the second hour. We have Miss Monica Schaefer on. Everybody and his mama knows who she is, but we would get her to give her biography probably at the end of the show, but she has been a political prisoner in Germany just for merely making a little video. I forgot how long it was, not very long, apologizing to her mother for being wrong about the Holocaust years ago. But we won't cover that now because she's got so much other information. We also have Mr. Gene Andrews on. Our brother, combat Marine, is a man's man, and he's going to be on with Miss Monica Schaefer. Miss Monica, give that website, if you will, before you continue on with your narrative.
Yes, all one word, truthandjusticeforgermans.com. That's the website that will get you there. And speaking of websites, my own website, Free Speech Monica, was taken down in this big purge of, you know, censorship, and that represented 4.5 years of me documenting the basically since I did that video, Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. So that was quite a blow to me, but then I recovered from the initial shock and you know, the disappointment of that, and just thought, well, I guess I must have been doing something right, because why would they be so afraid of what little old me has to say on a website, you know? I mean, really, this is what is happening, is that the obliteration of history and the censorship of truth, this all goes hand in hand with what we've seen happen now with the election, where it's a completely stolen election. But on that note, and I'm talking about the election in your country, of course, the whole world was watching, and just because I live in Canada doesn't mean it didn't affect us. And I think really many, many people around the whole world was watching with hope. But, you know, when I think and look now at what has gone down and the big disappointment about that, I think that Trump was one of them right from the get-go and was put in there as a like flypaper to basically identify all of the patriots, the you know, white people who are waking up to white genocide and what's going on, because he basically put that, made it so that people finally could talk about these things. And I don't know if, you know, all those rallies that he spoke at, which attracted thousands and thousands of people all through the 4 years, if that was a, you know, great big exercise in identifying the people that that are now to be eliminated. It is a very dark way to talk, and I apologize. I don't want to be a, you know, doom and gloom, but it is time to, we have to stop this in its tracks. And I know that people, we've been saying that all along, and then there was this Q thing, which is very much like what happened 100 years ago in Russia with this thing called Operation Trust. You've probably heard about that, but it went from 1921 to 1926, and it was like a psyop to mollify and cause people to say, okay, well, there's something going on, they're gonna basically come through for us, and not take action. And I don't know. It was really a very big disappointment on Wednesday, what happened. And I mean, all through, they keep on telling us new dates, wait for, you know, in November, the election, then something was supposed to happen in December, and it came and went. And then January 6th was the big date, came and went. And then, you know, wait for the 11th hour, okay, something's going to happen January 20th. And then it came and went, and now Biden's in there, and whoa. Just pulling out all the stops. And yeah, so it is time, folks, to take up arms. I don't know. I mean, maybe shouldn't be going on about that. And I did want to talk some more about this story about this principal in Florida who was fired, and then the ruckus that was created about this letter that we wrote, and it was an open letter, although I sent it to over 200 email addresses of all the staff and faculty down in that school and the board. And I got two emails back from them. One was from somebody, a board member, who said, oh, why am I getting this email? I just thought that was kind of ridiculous. And then the one other return, and it was a favorable one. I said, oh, I totally agree. But I never did hear from anybody else. And you know why? went quiet amongst that crowd very quickly. I do believe it's because I have this label on me, and that label is this weaponized term called Holocaust denier. And in fact, I'm a proven Holocaust denier, a convicted Holocaust denier. Now, in the general population who has not looked into this yet, and who still believes the lies that they tell us about World War II, that label is enough to shut down their thinking power, their, you know, to put gates up in their brain, because it's been so weaponized, that term. It's just equated with evil, evil, evil. And so they just think right away, oh, well, that's an evil person, and that's a nutcase, and that's a lunatic, and all the rest of it, you see. And these articles that they wrote in the mainstream press, both the National Post in Canada and this Boca News Now down in Florida, of course, their main focus is on Holocaust denier Monica Schaefer comes to, you know, defend this principal, or, you know, calls for his reinstatement, this kind of thing. So, yeah, that's how they do it. Now, if you look beyond that, that weaponized term, these articles are actually doing us a favor. They are they're illuminating the story, you see. Yes.
If you will, I would like to go to Gene just for a minute, because you raised up something I hadn't heard of. You know, you talked about Operation Trust, and we'll continue on with your dialogue just a minute. You brought this term up, this Operation Trust organization from 1921 to 1927, and how you think it kind of mimics what might have gone on with Trump being maybe one of them, luring people to Washington, D.C. I'd like to get Gene's take on that. Gene, that's pretty interesting to me. What's your take on that, Gene?
Well, I don't know about that. I think a lot of people across this country supported Trump because he wasn't just another typical hack politician. He was a businessman. And I'd heard people over and over and over again before Trump even thought about running saying, we need to get rid of the politicians and get this country run on a sound business principle, because we're going bankrupt. We're printing money, and which devalues our money. The more money they print, the less.
Hello?
Who's Gene?
Yeah.
Oh, evidently I'm sure Gene will probably call him back. We've lost Gene there for a second. That's not an unusual thing. He'll probably come right back. But anyway, he was talking about that, and you know, I've heard the same things, Miss Monica, that Gene was saying. You know, we needed somebody who was not a career politician, that somebody who was totally diametrically opposed to being through the New World Order, to, you know, farming out all of our industries to God only knows where, to China and Bangladesh and stuff like that. He did do that to a certain extent. And I heard that also he got us out of the World Health Organization. He got us out of the Paris Climate Accords. I think I mentioned that in the first hour. But, yeah, you brought me. You know what? I've known some really smart people that have said the same thing you say, Monica, that they think that he might have been put into place. It's just as a, I don't know, a Manchurian candidate, or notice, or a Trojan horse. But until Gene comes back,
yes, sir, we're back.
Go ahead and okay. Well, Gene's back. Go ahead, Gene. We just lost you temporarily, buddy.
On us and trying to shut down any of the dissenters out here. So, you know, I'm surprised we're still on the air at all. Ms. Schaefer brought up an interesting point, and I'd like to expand on that just a little bit. She was talking about how that anybody that questions the Holocaust is painted with this brush as a Holocaust denier, et cetera, and it just shuts off the argument. The same thing is happening here in this country right now. Anybody that questions the results of the election or questions the sanity or senility of Joe Biden, they just cut them off. There is no dissent. And they're talking about having this secret police organization as another bureaucratic or branch of the federal government set up to hunt down people that have dissent against the government. The same thing as Holocaust deniers. They're trying to wipe out any dissent, any questioning of their party line.
Gene, we'll take up. I'm going to go right back to you as soon as we come back to this break. and we'll get Monica to comment on what you just commented on. Be right back, people. Hold on to your seats.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden has put forward a nearly $2 trillion COVID-19 stimulus bill. Senate Democrat Bob Casey was on Fox News.
No matter where you live, you have these high case numbers and high death numbers. Over 400, we're about 415,000 people who are dead and about 25 million cases.
Because congressional action could take a while, President Biden has pushed ahead the relief with two executive orders, and one of them includes expanding food assistance. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has a warning about COVID-19.
When you tire before the enemy tires, you know what happens? The enemy wins. We don't have the luxury of fatigue.
He explained that the vaccine is safe, and he urged New Yorkers to take it as soon as it's available. This is USA Radio News.
As Joe Biden becomes America's 46th president, so much is happening in Washington, and millions of Americans are turning to Newsmax, a news source they can trust. Newsmax is already America's fastest-growing cable news channel, and Newsmax.com is your place for breaking news online. So download the Newsmax app now on your smartphone and start watching Newsmax TV for free. The app has no paywall and gives real news you can trust. Watch great shows with Greg Kelly, Grant Stinchfield, Dick Morris, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, Sean Spicer, and a lot more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If you don't get Newsmax on cable, call your operator and tell them you want Newsmax. You can always switch to a new service that has Newsmax. Or watch Newsmax for free on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Zumo, TiVo Plus, Pluto, and smart TVs like Samsung and LG. Tune in today because Newsmax is real news for real people.
A group of three dozen House Democrats have signed a letter asking President Joe Biden to commute the death sentences of all federal death row inmates and work to dismantle the form of punishment at the federal level. The plea comes on the heels of 13 executions carried out by the Trump administration since July. They're calling on Biden, who's voiced his opposition to the death penalty, to emphasize rehabilitation for offenders in his Justice Department. There are now 50 people on the federal death row, including a man whose death sentence was overturned on Tuesday in a ruling that could be appealed by the U.S. Justice Department. The plea to Biden comes weeks after Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley and Senate Democratic Whip Dick Durbin introduced a bill to abolish the death penalty at the federal level. Legendary talk show host Larry King has passed away due to complications of COVID-19. Larry King was 87. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people always feel lucky when I get two guests on, like I got tonight, Miss Monica Schaefer and Gene Andrews. Gene Andrews, Mr. Gene, we're going to go right back to you. I want you to finish your narrative that you were talking about.
Well, this country is going down a very dangerous road. When you have a dictatorship that comes in and takes over, just like in any third world country, Central American dictatorship, South America, whatever, Middle East, and they have a purge and go after all of the people that were in the former administration, that is really something dangerous that's going on here. It's you know, like the only thing I can compare it to is the Soviet Union, you know, that anybody that was against the Soviet Union has been eliminated. They want to deny employment to anybody that worked in the Trump administration. They want to deny any questioning of the results of the election. And here's the thing that I'd like to point out to our listeners, that you know what they're doing is a lie. Because just like the Hoax, if you question it, then you have to face these draconian laws and being drug into court and the stupidity of the court system, the judicial system, that you can't use facts to defend yourself. The same thing is happening here, that if you question the results of the election, if you question the insanity of some of these executive orders that Senile Joe has signed into law, then you are attacked and vilified, and they say you don't have a right to present evidence. You don't have a right to have the affidavits from these people that saw the truckloads of fake ballots being brought in or anything like that. So there's a great comparison between the two. You can't argue your case on truth, and that is totally against everything that this country ever stood for. When you can't argue on truth, you know the people that are pushing the Hola hoax or pushing the Biden presidency, you know they're living on a lie, because a truth can stand by itself. But a lie has to have these severe penalties and laws to back it up. So the more penalties and laws that the Biden administration and the liberal Democrats pass, the more you know that they and the fake news media are lying to us, because the lie has to be covered up with harsh penalties for questioning the lie.
Absolutely, Gene. And 2 points, and we'll go right back to Monica. You are 100% on the money, my brother. There is a department-level new apparatus they're putting into place, and they're going to decide what's truth and what's not truth, and they're going to start taking people down according to what the government says is truth and not truth. And just one more comment. I'm going to go to Miss Monica. I was listening to a radio program just yesterday, and they had this PhD in psychology on. He claims that he had been in this Reverend Sun Young Moon's. He was a Moonie, and he said he'd been brainwashed, and he went on all their stuff. But he was lucky. Some good people got him out, and they put him into this occult deprogramming system and got him deprogrammed. So now he's just back. He's just a good communist liberal Marxist. And they were actually saying that what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to take 73 million. The number 73 keeps coming up, Miss Monica. 73 million people. They're going to have to put them in there, and they're going to have to be deprogrammed, because they said that people that voted for Trump, people that did not vote for Joe Biden, they said that we've been brainwashed. And they said that Trump, anybody that voted for him, that we're involved in a cult. They're actually saying that people that voted for President Trump are the same thing as a Moonie. And you mentioned that Operation Trust earlier, Miss Monica. So if you will, comment on what Gene said about what I just said then. If you got time, work in about this Operation Trust. I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah. Actually, I just want to start out by saying that what Gene was saying about the truth and lies is just so, so pertinent. So, you know, with the Hollow hoax, yes, I have talked about that you cannot bring the facts into the court of law, even, because if you do, you're doing new crime. And this is exactly how they're treating truth and lies in the current situation, like with the election, with the fraud of it, and also with a lot of other issues. It is a complete dystopia in terms of what is real and what is not, and we can basically say with a lot of confidence that whatever they're telling us in the mainstream press is pretty much all backwards and lies. You know, sometimes they throw a little morsel of truth in to confuse the issue or to just pull us along and get us going. And also just want to go back to something I said in the previous segment, and don't get me wrong about what I said about Trump. If I was in your country, I would have voted for him, of course. What he represented was what we were, you know, what his supporters loved. But I mean, when he kept on supporting the vaccines and being oh so proud about how fast they're rolling out the vaccines, it just caused grave concern for me. I said, why on earth is he doing that? You know, is he going to take advantage of all that trust he has in so many people, that people are, you know, following what he's saying, and that, oh, they're just going to all go and get that. I don't even want to call it a vaccine. I'm sorry I did that. It's an injection. It's an operating system, and the Moderna says it right on their website, folks. It's an operating system. So it's like, it's nothing like injections in the past, which, and by the way, I now know enough to know that vaccines of any sort were not actually good for us. But in the past, they would put some kind of an immuning, like they would say that it would boost your immunity against a certain disease. So they used, you know, dead particles of the disease that they're trying to fight or whatever. But this is nothing of the sort. It is an actual operating system. It changes your genes. And I did listen to your first hour with your guest, Lee, and I just want to say I am so sorry about what he is going through with watching his mother getting ill from the injection, and it's such a sad story, and I'm afraid that many, many, many people are going to experience that. Many, many people have already died from the injections, and they go and tell us a big lie about that, too, about, oh, well, they died from COVID now. You know, they tested positive before they had the injection, and so they died from COVID. I mean, it gets more and more bizarre with every day. Now, you asked about this Operation Trust. So this was a similar thing as this Q thing that gave people a lot of hope, like trust the plan, you know, the military is going to come through for us and this kind of thing. Well, I just found out about this about a week ago, that in Russia, they had a very similar thing, and it was called Operation Trust.
Yes.
Well, I guess that would be the translation of it. And this would have kept the people kind of sitting and waiting, like basically not rising up. And it gave them time to put their agenda into place more firmly. And so I'm afraid that might be what has been going on, you know, like trust the plan and wait, and all these patriots are sitting and waiting. And meanwhile, now we're supposed to wait for another date, March 4th. Like some people are still saying, oh, well, maybe March 4th, you know, Trump's going to come through. It's just one date after the next. And, you know, they're putting into place their plan, their camps, their, you know, isolation camps, and you've already talked about this. They're going to be taking people who are refusing the injection and quarantining them. Oh, it's for your own good or for the greater good. These words, for the greater good, are very, very dangerous words, because when they say it's for the greater good, what that really means is not for our good at all. It's, you know, for the Jewish agenda, really.
Absolutely, and, right. Ms. Monica, I just looked this thing up. I'm going to interject here quickly. Operation Trust, as it says, was a counterintelligence operation of the State Political Directorate, the GPU, of the Soviet Union. And like you said, from 1921 to 1926, it said the operation was set up by the GPU's predecessor, the Cheka. You're talking about blood-curdling, torturous operation with the Cheka. Man, they ran those concentration camps in the Soviet Union. They were accredited with killing up to, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, 66 million Russians. And go ahead. What do you think about that, Gene?
Well, and who were most of the Cheka? They were the Jewish Bolsheviks. And they talk about the magical 6 million number that just popped. You know, 6 million didn't come along till 1972. The International Red Cross said that probably around 235 to 245 million workers in these work camps died during the Second World War in Germany and occupied territories by the German army.
You mean 245,000, not 245 million?
No, I'm sorry. Oh, no, I did say million. No, I'm sorry. 1,000. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And now they got me messed up. They're talking in millions, and I got that messed up. No, 245,000. The 6 million didn't pop up until 1972. So.
Well, folks, as soon as we get back this break, we'll go right back to that. We'll go back to Gene. You finish up, and we'll y'all know the drill better than I do. We'll bounce back from Gene to Monica. Be right back, folks.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, people, thank you so much for tuning in to Blood River Radio tonight. We're in the last segment. I can't believe that. Before we go back to our guest, I'm going to make this comes out of the book by David Duke. It says The Secret Behind Communism. And this is a brief, I'm just going to read this briefly. He has a page 35 of his book. Talks about the Cheka, the secret police. And over on the next page, it says that, if I can find it, I just read, it says that the Gulag Archipelago, with Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he should know. He was there in those concentration camps. He said that between 1918 and 1959, at least, and I said this earlier, at least 66 million died at the hands of the communist rulers of Russia. And over here, here are six of the head honchos, and James referred to them. He nailed it. They were Jews. Here are the six of the head honchos that ran the Cheka at one time. Aaron Soltz, Netfeli Finkel, Yakov Rapoport, Matvel Bergman, Lazar Kogan, and one of the most infamous was Gingrich Yagoda. Gingrich Yagoda said that he had a mustache similar to Hitler's, and according to a Jewish publication, he was credited to killing over 10 million people in Russia and the Soviet Union. And that comes from Jewish sources. Back to you, Gene. Finish up what you're doing, brother.
Yeah, just want to correct myself there, make sure we get the numbers right. I go back to the old saying, make sure your brain is in gear before you take the clutch off your tongue. the International Red Cross said about 240,000 died in the work camps, not anywhere close to the millions that they've come up with now. And like I said, the 6 million didn't pop up until the early 1970s, and that's when that came along. And they've always used that 6 million. They claim that 6 million Jews were being persecuted by the Turks during World War One. In the 1840s, they said another 6 million Jews were being persecuted in Europe and chased out of Europe. And the reason they did, because they were the 48ers, and they were the ones in 1848 that were trying to start socialist revolutions all over Europe. And they chased them out of Europe, and they wound up over here and wound up in Lincoln's cabinet and the U.S. Army fighting against the South. So, you know, we got they cleared them out of Europe, but we got the plague over here. So it's just a long history of the 6 million number that they love to throw in our faces. So I'll turn it back over to Ms. Schaefer.
Yeah, that 6 million number, it's their cult number, and I mean, I think most people know what 666 represents. That's Satan. And I think that, you know, that comes up in a piece of legislation in the States now, something about the injection, doesn't it? Or this contact tracing act or whatever it is, you know, everybody's supposed to be contact traced, monitored, injected. Isn't there an act that's... a bill that's called 06060606. And, you know, they tell us this. It's in plain sight if we open our eyes. If we just look, we can see what they're doing. They tell us what they're doing. In their playbook, they need our consent. And consent doesn't mean, oh, they come and tell us in plain language, okay, we want to annihilate a bunch of you, and this is what we're going to do. No, they show us things in the movies, or they show us things with their numbers and their symbolism. And it's, in some cases, they actually do tell us, but the mainstream media will portray it completely differently. And now if we don't object, they think they have our consent. And that's what, you know, well, that's what we have to confront. And then, of course, we have the situation that we're in this dual world, the world that a lot of people see as reality, what I did until 10 years ago or so when I started to wake up. And then there's the real reality. And those of us who are awake to it, and we've been talking about the Hollow Hoax and various things, you know, they portray us as nutcases and lunatics and use all this weaponized language and shut us down and do the censorship. So really, that's what we're up against. But this corona madness, and again, is this corona is like a king, right? This coronation, is this their coronation act? But it's going to perhaps backfire on them, because if this doesn't wake up the masses, I don't know what will, but many, many, many people have woken up to it. And then, of course, in the last 4 years in the United States, you saw people by the millions, or, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions, who were Trump supporters. And again, it's what he represented. What he did do a lot of good things, but he also somehow was, I mean, he was surrounded by Jews. You know, his son-in-law and his whole family, surrounded by them. And, yeah, I cannot help but have come to the conclusion that perhaps he was in there on the wrong side right from the get-go. I don't know. But now that's water under the bridge. We have to deal with present and move forward from here. And I guess that's, yeah, what to say, what to do. We're moving forward.
Our brother Buddy has just called in, guys. How you doing tonight, Mr. Buddy?
Doing pretty good, Miss Steady. Listen, I just wanted to add a little bit to the conversation on the Hollow Hoax. And I'd like to remind the audience that three well-known people, even though I don't vouch for the character, wrote books about World War II. One of them was the inebriated Winston Churchill, and Charles de Gaulle, and the notorious Dwight Eisenhower. Not one of those three in writing about World War II mentioned the Holocaust in the vast writings they did.
Well, because they...
Absolutely right, yeah.
Yeah, they completed their history of the war right after the war, and like we keep saying, this 6 million didn't pop up till, you know, 30 years after the war, or almost 30 years after the war. So, no, they wouldn't mention it, even though they were there, they saw what was going on, they didn't mention it. So.
That's right. And also, there was the manuscript of that same period written by Herbert Hoover, and he finished his book in 1964 and died before he could have it published. The manuscript was discovered about 10 years ago, and they printed the book, and I have a copy of it, 957 pages. And he was sent over to Europe and various places around the world writing about World War II. And in Herbert Hoover's book, he does not mention a Holocaust either of any number of people.
And the flimsy argument that they throw at people who question the Holocaust or Holocaust, they say, well, you can't use facts. You can't argue against this because it's something that everybody knows happened. That's one of the most flimsy arguments I've ever heard. And you look back in history and you say, well, what a foolish argument to make. At one time in this country or in Europe, everybody knows that there were women that were witches, and women were burned at the stake because they were witches. But everybody knew that. You couldn't argue with it. So this is the same type
That's
of
right.
witch burning that we have going on right now.
It's a judicial notice they give in court, and they started that at the Nuremberg trials with Articles 19 and 21. They said you do not need to provide evidence for something that is self-evident, and the Holocaust is common knowledge, and so you do not need to provide evidence to support it, like the sky is blue and you don't have to prove it.
Oh.
Okay, well, listen, I'll hang up and listen to the rest of the program. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buddy. You're always welcome to call, and you're everybody's friend. You know, Mr. Buddy, we talked to Mr. Buddy. Me and Mr. Buddy called Miss Monica Schaefer from Jonesboro, Arkansas, back around May or June, and he's a big admirer of Miss Monica. Back to you, Miss Monica.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, the French professor Robert Folisson, he worked tirelessly on gathering evidence, real evidence now about this hollow hoax, and along many lines, like not just physical, but also architecturally, the plans for Auschwitz, for example, he dug those out. I think he was the first to do so, to actually find the original drawings and all kinds of things that he did for 40 years or maybe 50 years. Now, in answer to the evidence that he was bringing forth, there was a group of 34 French professors who came out with a ridiculous statement, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase it from memory, but they said that the hollow, and they published this in the Le Monde, which is a major French newspaper. They published this by 34 intellectuals, you know, these so-called intellectuals from universities, professors. They all signed this, and they said the Holocaust was technically possible because it happened. We do not need to question, you know, the technical aspects of it because it did happen, and that it should be the starting point for any investigation into it. It happened because it happened, basically, is how they put it. Or it was technically possible because it happened. I mean, really, that's how absurd it is, that this kind of trickster, like, it's just trickery. Pure trickery that they use, and like Jean said earlier, that the truth stand on its own. Only lies need to be defended by law and then forced onto us by imprisoning those who come up against it with evidence, and then they make the evidence illegal. That's very convenient for them. And, you know, just before this hour runs out, I do want to mention that my brother Alfred Schaefer is still in prison in Germany, and now my website is down, and that's where it used to have the address right at the top of my website, but we do have a section on political prisoners on the Truth and Justice for Germans website. If you'd like to write, that would be very good for his, just his, you know, cheer him up, that kind of thing. But he's been fighting his own fight there. He's been in defiance of their masking protocols and really ended up in quite the predicament. I would call it torture what they did to him. I have to update that political prisoner section. I just realized that there's other political prisoners on there who are out now. I'll update that this evening before any more time goes by. But like,
yes.
Horst Mahler is,
well, Miss Monica, we're just about completely out of time. We're just about completely out of time. I need to get to you and get that website. Since we just had the presidential election, in a few seconds, Gene, give us your prediction for the next 3 to 6 months on if we're all going to be taken down, if we're all going to the coops with this this gulag thing you're talking about.
If they can get away with it, they're going to try that, because they say the mentality of these liberals, they say, well, we'll never get away with it. Well, we did. Let's try. Let's what can try something next week. Now, let Monica give the website again, please, before we cut out.
Go ahead, Miss Monica.
TruthandJusticeForGermans.com. That's it.
Well, thank you so much, Miss Monica and Gene. Thank you all. I just cannot tell y'all how much I respect you and love both of you people. I love you to death. Good night. I'll be getting in touch with both of you people, dear people, really soon, this next week. The latest.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Miss Bethany, for running
much.
The show. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Thank you, audience. God, thank you for all of us. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you next week. It'll be the last Saturday of this month. Good night, everybody.